You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Hi, everybody. It's Lizzie over here at Let's Get Civical, wishing you all happy, happy holidays. We don't have a new episode for you this week, but we are re-airing one of our favorite episodes from this year. So we hope you enjoy, and we will see you all in 2023.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the assassination of President Garfield.
So grab Alexander Graham Bell.
And let's get civical. Hello, every single one of you.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
I am Arden Walentowski.
And what can I say? Oh, you know what I'll say? Because I always tell myself I'm going to do this at the top, and then I always forget. Because apparently it's better if you say this at the top, which is you guys. We've been together for, this is our 178th episode. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Bananas.
Unreal.
If you've been listening to us and you're like, we love these two gals, why don't you go and give us a little review. Rate us. Throw a little 5 stars our way. It really, I know it seems crazy, but it really makes a difference. And it also just makes me really happy.
It just makes me happy.
It just makes me happy.
If you're going to say things like, we don't like your voice, that you can keep to yourself.
Yes. If you want to say something mean,
we don't care.
We're not talking to you in this moment.
No.
Your feelings are valid.
For you.
Yeah. Slide into our DMs. Tell us that on the side.
Right.
Because we also read your DMs to people who have DM'd us before. You know that we respond to you, usually very enthusiastically. And most everybody's very nice, actually. And so thank you for that. But yeah, I never say this at the beginning. I always say it at the end. But rate, review, and subscribe to us if you haven't already. And thank you.
Thank you. And I feel like you're going to really want to after this episode, which is full of bonkers information.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to do this. Yeah.
And as always, I always like to preface our assassination episodes because we have some in the canon now.
Yeah.
Which it's like we're not making light of somebody dying.
No.
But usually these stories are bananas.
So crazy, yes.
And that's what we're going to be responding to and reacting to. I mean, Arden obviously knows the bananas facts about this particular assassination. I'm coming into this blind, so God help us all.
Mm-hmm.
But we always find some twists and turns in these episodes. And Today is no different. I'm going to say this, and this you're going to be shocked. I didn't even know that Garfield was assassinated.
I mean, and that here's
he's
shocking...
just not in the top five of assassinations. No,
which is wild. And I'm just, after doing these notes, I was like, I'm going to write a movie about this. Because this is so, like, it has everything. I think only thing, I mean, it even has, like, a love story with the wife. Like,
can I be the wife?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's called booking it, y'all. That's called getting the part.
That's right. That's called knowing the right people and asking at the right time.
It's called nepotism because we're related, obviously.
That's exactly it. Blessed and booked. Hashtag blessed and booked.
Hashtag blessed and booked.
Booked and, is it booked and blessed or blessed and booked?
It's booked and blessed, but you said blessed and booked, so I went with you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Because I'll support you in everything you do, including this movie about the assassination of President Garfield.
It needs to be made. It needs to be made.
Sure.
It's absolutely stellar material. There's nothing it does not have. And my one regret with these notes, because they're a little long, because it's so just a roller coaster, is that I didn't put in anything really about Garfield himself. So at some point, we should do...
That's for a later day.
An episode on him and his life and what he was about, what he stands.
Yes. Okay. Well, you know, if these notes are long and we're bursting at the seams here... Let's get into it. Let's get our hands dirty. Do you want to start off with the sources?
There are just two sources, and God bless them.
Mm.
So good. So helpful. The National Park Service had some great information on the assassin.
Like
they did a whole article about why he did it. And I mean, just really good. And then, of course, history.com, because they really blew it out of the park with this one.
So literally mom and dad, we're safe.
Yep.
We are safe.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm ready. I'm ready and I'm excited. So the assassination, let's talk about it. On the morning of July 2nd, 1881, James A. Garfield arrived at the Baltimore and Potomac train station for a much-needed holiday. Honey, you and me both.
Mm-hmm.
Just 4 months had passed since the former Union general and Ohio congressman had been sworn in as the nation's 20th president, but his term had already gotten off to a rocky start, sweet Garfield.
Indeed.
He had clashed with Republican power brokers over patronage appointments to his administration and had endured a brush with tragedy after his wife contracted a near-fatal case of malaria.
Yeah.
That's a rough couple of months.
It's rough. He's got a rough start to this presidency.
Yeah. With the First Lady now on the mend, Garfield was eager to escape the sweltering capital for a summer trip to New England.
Samesies.
Same. Where he planned to give a speech at his alma mater, Williams College. Okay, so he's like, I've got to rest and recuperate. Yes. Let me do a little PR move. Mm-hmm. But mostly we're just here to hang by the pool.
Yes.
Love it.
It is too hot.
It's too hot.
In the swamp.
Yep.
I need to go elsewhere.
Yep.
For the breeze.
Along with his two teenage sons and Secretary of State James G. Blaine, he had left the White House and taken a carriage ride to the station entrance near the National Mall. So he's moving and grooving. We're going on the train. Like most presidents up to that point, very important, he was not accompanied by bodyguards or a security detail. It's like impossible for us to like wrap our heads around this now.
Right.
But literally it's just a guy on the street. And you're like, oh my God,
he's just walking around. Yeah. Oh, hi. Hi, Mr. Garfield. President Garfield. Nice to see you. Yeah. Just walking around.
As Garfield's carriage pulled up outside the Baltimore and Potomac train station, Charles Guiteau paced the waiting room inside, ready to fulfill what he believed was a mission from God. Okay, wannabe blues brother. Like, what's up?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. 4 weeks, the 39-year-old had stalked the president across Washington, patiently waiting for a chance to gun him down. Oh, Charles. Yeah. Yikes. Yeah. Family members and acquaintances had long suspected that Guiteau was insane, but he had planned the crime with chilling precision. He had conducted target practice with an ivory-handled .44 caliber pistol, specifically purchased because Guiteau thought it would look nice in a museum one day.
He's batshit.
Oh, no. Yes.
Yeah.
Do we know what this, have you looked up what this person looks like?
Yes, I have. Of course I have.
Okay, hold on. Let me get on your page. I've got to see
he
it.
He does look insane in the eyes.
Oh, my. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, the beard.
The beard.
The beard. The beard. Oh, yeah. There is something. Whew. Oh, no. Thank you.
He is crazy in the eyes.
He is crazy in the eyes. We will obviously, everybody go to our Instagram page because we will obviously be posting a picture of this person. With the eyes and the long beard, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It looks like there's some pictures of him where he's just has a mustache and shorter hair and it's less, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say he's. Like, you look at him and you're like, oh, you're going to assassinate the president. Like, that's right. His look.
That's his look. There's, like, just craziness.
Yeah.
In the eyes, which is stunning because it's, like, these black and white photos from yesteryear of yore.
Yeah.
And you can still see it. You can still see the crazy.
Yeah.
Also, sidebar, are you getting pictures in your Google images that are coming up? of his brain in a jar?
Wait, I just searched his name.
That's all I did.
I sure see it. I sure see it.
I don't understand what I'm looking at.
This is breaking news. A fun fact. Hold on. I'm reading this. I think it's his brain.
I think it's his brain. Okay, wait. Put a pin in this because we're going to do a whole thing about, we're going to talk about the assassin because not usually something I would do, but it's fascinating. Like
wow.
He's fascinating, his reasons. So I feel like we should take this at the end of that.
Okay. We're going to do the meanest thing we've ever done to you as listeners. And we're going to put a pin in our brain in a jar discovery and pick it back up in 15 minutes. So everybody know that we're going to take care of you, but we will take care of you. We did just discover that at the same time. Okay.
Yeah. That's insane. I was like, should I be clicking on this picture? Like it's his literal.
Okay. But we put a pin in it, Arden.
We put a pin in it. Okay. I'm leaving the pin. Continue.
So back to the notes, right? So he's been stalking. He's crazy. I just looked at a picture of him and you will too. It's all there. The vibes are there. So he bought a gun that he thought would look nice in a museum one day, and he had even tried to take a tour of the district jail, which he assumed would be his new home after he was arrested.
It just keeps giving.
You know what? We've been doing this whole podcast. The mission of this podcast, everything we've always said in every episode is like, this wasn't thought through. Like, this idea wasn't thought through. Like, the founding of this nation had a lot of holes.
Very flawed.
It
very
cracks startup the foundation. Nation. And what has happened is our prayers have been answered in the form of this crazy dude who has gone, what I could say, too far in
too
preparation.
Far. Yes. He thought the gun would look nice in a museum one day.
Yeah, and he wanted to scope out his new home. The jail.
He wanted to scope out his new home.
Oh man.
What does this look like? All right. Like, okay. Pee here. That's reasonable.
Okay. Maybe get in the east wing. We'll see. In his pocket, Gito carried a letter addressed to the White House. Quote, "The president's tragic death was a sad necessity," it read, "but it will unite the Republican Party and save the Republic. Life is a fleeting dream, and it matters little when one goes," end quote. I'm like, then you go.
You go.
If it matters little.
Let this man live.
Yeah. I'm like, if it matters little, honey, you go first.
You go. You go first.
You go. You go.
So crazy. Mm. So at around 9:20 a.m., Garfield entered the train station alongside Secretary Blaine, who had offered to escort him to his train. As the men strode through the waiting room, Gito snuck up behind them and drew his pistol. A witness later told, I'm assuming the police, quote, "His eye was steady and his face presented the appearance of a brave man who is determined upon a desperate deed and meant to do it calmly and well." So in today's terminology, he's like that chiller killer.
Yeah.
Like stone cold, just this is what I'm doing, no emotion.
Not to bring it back to sort of what I think is like our ultimate assassination episode, which is, of course, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, my God.
We discovered that one of the attempted assassins of the other guys that were assassinated or attempted to be assassinated that night, along with Lincoln, was hot. When we discovered the hot assassin, was because the guy who he was trying to kill remarked on the fact that he was a gorgeous man. He was like, and his eyes and this man, and it was beautiful. I just love how people have like when they're telling like their story about what's happened.
Right.
In this time period, it's done so with this like air of like what their emotional intelligence is doing and like physically, and like it's descriptive in a way that it's not anymore. Like for us now, it's, he was 5'5". He was brown hair. There was a birthmark on his eyebrow. He was this ethnicity. He spoke like this. So it's just like a different way. Like, can you imagine, God forbid, something happens to one of us and you know, or we have to identify somebody and we say, I saw him. His eye was steady. His face presented the appearance of a brave man who... is determined upon a desperate deed and also meant to do it calmly and well. And he was 5'5".
With a freckle behind his left ear.
But just like to have that as a part of it, it's what a description.
A description. I also just, yeah, it's such a... It's also, like, the presumption of his intent and also, like, kind of paints him in this, like, he's not a hot. This isn't not a hot assassin. Mm-mm. I can understand where maybe some people would be like, oh, no, he's my type. Like, he's not ugly, but he's not, like,
no, cute, I mean, the
Abraham Lincoln guy was.
Well, that is just, he's in a different ballpark. That young man, whose name I can't remember, but...
I can't remember.
It's Henry something, I think.
I still see the
something
image.
Powell. Lewis Powell, I think.
Lewis Powell. Good job.
Lewis Powell. Oh, God. Oh, God. His picture pops up again. You guys, and again, Lewis Powell tried to assassinate William Henry Seward in the same night that they were trying to assassinate. John Wilkes Booth was trying to assassinate Abraham Lincoln. It was a three-pronged attack.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to listen to this episode that we did, because on it, we discovered, just doing a quick Google search of what all the assassins looked like, that Lewis Powell is gorgeous. Like, not a good dude. He got what he deserved in the end. But wow, what a surprise. So we always want to see what these people look like, because I think it helps tell the story, you know?
Oh, totally. Totally. So Gito, back to the assassination of
Garfield.
Oh my god, James Garfield? James Garfield.
I know, you want to say Andrew, don't you? But it's James.
Well, no, I picture the cat.
Oh, I keep trying to say Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield. Oh my god. No, I always just think of the cat. And I'm like, what's his name?
James.
So Gito fired two shots at the president from point blank range. The first bullet only grazed Garfield's right arm, causing him to bellow, "My God, what is this?" I love this full ass account.
It's not funny, but to say, what is this? I'm like, it can really only be what. I've never been shot, and thank God, and I hope to never in my life ever have to be shot. But I think
I hope you never have to be shot.
I hope I'm not. I just hope I'm not
shot. It's one of the best things you've ever said.
I hope that I'm never shot and that I never have to be shot. I understand those are two different things at this point. But I think if I was shot, the point is, if I was shot, I think I would know. I wouldn't go, what's this?
My God.
My God.
What is this?
What? I'd probably be like, ow.
This blood? Where it come from?
What in the devil is going on?
Mr. Blaine, do you see?
Oh, gosh.
What is this?
Oh, my God. What's this?
What's this? So then the second shot was much more accurate. It struck Garfield in the lower back, knocking him to the floor. No sooner had the shots rang out than the station filled with the sound of panicked screams from bystanders. Gito made an attempt to flee, but a man blocked the door, allowing a ticket agent and a police officer to apprehend him.
Shout out to that ticket agent. He went to that job not wanting to capture the assassin of the president.
That's right. No, he
did
good.
It is interesting to me that for all of his planning, for like casing the jail and everything, like he seemed like he was a man who knew he was going to get caught. So to try to flee is an interesting choice to me. I'm like, but you already cased the jail.
I know. You already knew what was inevitable.
Yeah. Maybe he was like, I'll give it a shot. I mean.
Right. Let's give it a whirl.
We'll
try and run. Furious train passengers immediately surrounded the shooter and began yelling, lynch him, lynch him.
I mean, people just jump right to it, don't they? They just hop right in there.
This is
1881. I mean, oh, yeah. All bets are off.
There's no rhyme or reason to anything. It's very raw emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to deal with our emotions yet. At Gito's own request, police whisked him away to the safety of the jailhouse.
Can you put me to safety? And I do. And like this, I actually, you know, like I'm not an eye for an eye type of gal. I don't think that, you know, you should just be able to kill somebody because they've done something horrendous, obviously.
Yeah, I agree.
But I just, the image of him being like, can you get me to safety after, like, moments after shooting the president of the United States? Right.
I'm feeling endangered. I feel scared. I might die. I feel scared.
Yeah.
Please take me to jail. Meanwhile, Garfield was still laid out on the train station floor, bleeding profusely from his back wound. Within minutes, 10 different doctors had arrived to examine him and tried to locate the second bullet, the one that's in his back.
Where are these doctors coming from?
They're just there going on their weekends.
I guess. I mean, it must be a busy train station, I suppose. That has to be it.
Yeah. And I would imagine, like, at the time, it's probably in the, like, a busy downtown. I mean, I'm just picturing, like,
yeah,
you know, like, Back to the Future 3, where they're, like, in the, like, the downtown is a bustling, and, so maybe the doctor was, like, right there, too.
Yeah. Is there a doctor in this train station? The president has been shot.
Is there a doctor? Does anybody know a doctor? So they all tried to come and examine him and locate the second bullet. Though no one knew it at the time, this is what is so sad. The slug had missed the president's arteries and vital organs and embedded itself near his pancreas. Today, it would be a survivable injury, but the army of well-meaning physicians only worsened the damage by using their unsterilized fingers and instruments to probe the wound, introducing germs and potentially causing an infection. So they're just like digging in in with their fingers.
I mean, I get it, though. It's like the president has been shot. You feel like you only have minutes, if that, to like get the bullet out so you can like close up the wound and stop the bleeding and all of this stuff. So like, I'm not a doctor, and I probably would go in with my fingers if I felt like I this was the only course of action. But yeah.
They really made it worse.
I mean, it's 1881. We don't know.
I know. What are you going to do? It's not like, also, what would you like?
Yeah.
I mean, now they would just like literally put him on an ambulance, dig him to a hospital. That's amazing that's how far we've come, that in like less than 100 years, we knew, don't touch him. Like, get him on a gurney and get him to a place that's sterile. Like, the place where the thing happened, not great. Do finger surgery.
Yeah. Or at least grab some Purell.
Something. Anything. Or I'm sure somebody had whiskey. Like, if they had just like, you know, it's 1881. Just, you know. So anyway, so he's lying on the floor in a lot of pain. These doctors are sticking their fingers in his open wound.
Golly.
And after an hour of excruciating prodding, the president was carried from the train. An hour.
They did this for an hour.
Yeah, like this is the president of the United States. And they're like,
my thing is like, if he's not dying within like 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, let's stop and take him somewhere.
Let's take him somewhere else. No, an hour. This poor, poor man. They take him to a bedroom in the White House. Cause also they're not that far. Yeah. Right. Like they're by the White House. His doctors feared he would not survive the night, but Garfield put on a brave face for his children, saying, quote, the upper story is all right. It is only the hull that was damaged.
Oh, like the hull is important. That's how you sink. Hello, Titanic.
I know.
Yikes, but guys.
Well, he didn't know about that yet. That happened after he died.
That was, 40 years later? Oh, yeah. We love to see it.
Oh, my God.
We're going to take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
So as the summer dragged on, newspapers printed a steady stream of medical updates on Garfield. The 49-year-old president had rallied in the first few days after the shooting, but his condition worsened after his doctor, D. Willard Bliss, what a name,
yep,
administered a heavy dose of quinine, morphine, and alcohol, which brought on bouts of vomiting that left him weak and emaciated. Okay, the doctors...
this man's already dying. Okay. And then they're like, you know what makes it better? Get drunk.
Get drunk. Yikes. Bliss also conducted repeated medical probes in a futile attempt to locate the second bullet. In August, he even enlisted the help of a telephone inventor, Alexander Graham Bell.
I'm telling you, this assassination has literally everything. I don't understand how this is not a movie yet.
Okay.
You could not write it better.
I was not expecting Alexander Graham Bell to make a second act appearance here, but here we are.
Here we are.
So Garfield's doctor calls Alexander Graham Bell and enlisted him to help him. And he used a crude metal detector called an induction balance to search for the slug, a.k.a. bullet.
They're looking for the slug like you would look for coins or treasure on a beach.
Yeah, like a ring on a beach.
Mm-hmm.
The machine had worked perfectly in tests, but the screening failed due to interference from metal springs on the president's bed.
I just...
Move him off the bed?
Some forethought. Move him off the floor? The bed. You're looking for metal. Don't lay him on something that is metal. Found it.
Maybe they can't move him. I don't know.
Maybe.
To make matters worse, Bell was only permitted to search the right side of Garfield's body, where Bliss incorrectly believed that the bullet was lodged. This is the other thing. I'm like, okay, if we're going so far as letting Alexander Graham Bell take a metal detector to your literal physical form, why are we going to go so far as to be like, only the right side?
Right.
What are you hiding on the left?
What are you hiding?
It's like, just do a quick once over. You're already here.
Right.
This is insane.
It's insane.
By September, so he was shot in July. And he's still kicking in September. But by September, a massive infection, most likely caused by his medical treatment, left Garfield with a persistent fever and abscess over his entire body. He was taken to a cottage on the Jersey Shore in the hope that the cool sea air would revive him.
Sure. I mean, you know what? It can't hurt. It can't be any worse than the alcohol.
But died on the night of September 19th, 1881. He had been president for just 200 days.
This poor man.
But yes. Garfield president, 200 days, assassinated by this mad French man and also his medical team. Yeah,
good thing there wasn't malpractice.
That's
back
what
then.
I was gonna say. I was like, that's some malpractice stuff right there. Yikes, McGikes.
So now we're gonna talk about the assassin, and in present time, like in our current modern times, because there are shootings so frequently, I don't really care about like the identity of the person. I generally just wanna know like, why was this preventable in some way? Is it a mental health thing? Are they crazy or the whatever? But this guy, and we're going to talk about that stuff, but this guy, I am so interested in as a human being. Because he just seems completely bonkers. And we're going to talk about the assassin. So when police apprehended him after he had shot Garfield on July 2nd, Guiteau calmly told them, quote, "I am a stalwart of the stalwarts. Arthur is president."
What is a stalwart, dare I ask?
A stalwart. So there was like, this was when the political parties were, there was a bunch of them and they had split off and there's, I can't remember all the names, but a stalwart is like one of the, we're like kind of sects within the Republican Party at the time.
Gotcha.
So this is, according to Britannica, a stalwart was a member of a faction of the Republican Party that opposed the civil service reform policies of Rutherford B. Hayes and sought unsuccessfully a third presidential term for Ulysses S. Grant. They vied with the generally more liberal half-breeds for control of the party in the 1870s and 80s. Among stalwart leaders were Roscoe Conkling of New York, Chester Arthur, and vice president under James A. Garfield. So his vice president. So
Arthur is president.
Yeah, so Arthur is president is...
Right. Chester A. Arthur. What a name.
What a name.
Two first names.
So essentially he's shooting Garfield so that his guy can become president.
Well, shoot.
Yeah. So understanding the factionalism of the Republican Party during this era helps you to understand not only how James A. Garfield got to the presidency, but also that his murder was wholly political in nature. Yes. So we've just...
Yes.
Yes, exactly that. One main issue that led to the split in the Republican Party was patronage. Under the patronage system, the winners of congressional and presidential elections had the power to appoint whomever they chose to fill numerous federal jobs. Experience and qualifications mattered little, if at all.
Sure. Wild West.
Mm-hmm. Powerful politicians loved the so-called spoil systems because it allowed them to put friends and relatives into lucrative positions and ensure loyalty from everyone they appointed. Of course. That's like, yeah. I mean,
surround yourself with your people. If
you appoint everybody and they're working for you, that's great for you.
Mm-hmm.
Guiteau considered himself to be a stalwart Republican. He had supported Ulysses S. Grant for the party's nomination in 1880. Even preparing a nonsensical speech he hoped to give for Grant, for the Grant campaign throughout New York. So he's writing at no one's request.
Yeah. He's just like, I am ready to speak. It's just like how I'm ready to fly the plane always.
Always.
He was ready to give a speech. And it's ready, like, nobody's asked you. You're not qualified.
No. Nobody. Who are you? Nobody cares what you have to say. So when the Republicans ended up choosing Garfield instead, Guiteau simply crossed out all the references to Grant in his speech and replaced them with Garfield.
Easy peasy, so lemon squeezy. Speech.
Yep.
He's
crossed it out.
Garfield led this nation in the Civil War admirably.
Admirably. But he's all, like, he kills Garfield because he wants Arthur to be president, but here he is.
Basically, at one point he was fine with Garfield.
Speech to support Garfield. Yeah. So during the campaign, Guiteau hounded Republican officials to let him give his speech, which he finally did to a small and puzzled crowd. This odd performance led the mentally unbalanced Guiteau to believe that he had helped Garfield win New York, the most coveted electoral prize of the 1880 contest, and the state that put Garfield over the top and into the presidency. He's like, such a narcissist.
Sure.
Like,
I did it. I gave you New York.
I also love the image of this crowd being like, do you know who that is?
She doesn't even go here.
We don't even go here.
That's the crowd.
So his contribution to the party's victory entitled him, he felt, to a patronage position, and he soon went to Washington, D.C. to present himself for consideration for the American consulship to Paris.
I mean, you gotta love a self-starter.
You gotta love a self-starter.
You gotta love somebody who advocates for himself.
That's right.
To a fault, it would seem. To a fault.
Yeah. To a fault. Yeah, he's really thinking he's very, very important. And just the entitlement is so crazy.
Yeah, it's wild.
Of course, he had no skills, qualification, or experience to warrant such a position, but lesser men had received prize jobs under the patronage system.
Fair.
But the patronage system is also like for your close confidants and family, generally.
Right. Right.
Not like a dude who gave a speech once.
Well, but no, he gave him New York. He gave him the victory.
That's true.
This isn't an acquaintance. This is the person who fulfilled Garfield's destiny.
Right.
Different. So once he got to Washington, Guiteau was obviously sorely disappointed. His efforts to secure the Paris appointment failed, and he became a nuisance to the new administration. He aroused the ire of Secretary of State James Blaine, who at one point thundered at Guiteau, quote, "Do not ask me about the Paris consulship ever again," end quote.
Good job.
Thank you. Once Guiteau realized that he would not get the position he wanted and that the Garfield administration was serious about scrapping the patronage system altogether, he decided that removing Garfield was his best option. Removing being...
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So smart. This guy won't give me what I want. I'll kill him. And then I'll get what I want.
And then I'll get the paper. Yeah. That all,
A plus Arthur B will be president.
Yeah.
And he likes the patronage system.
Making Chester A. Arthur president would not only save the country from a half-breed Republican like Garfield, but would also, considering Arthur's past affiliation with Roscoe Conkling, save the patronage system and quash civil service reform once and for all. As a nice byproduct, Guiteau would also surely receive the Paris consulship from a grateful President Arthur.
Of course.
Thank you, Charles. Without you killing the last president, I would never be president.
Right.
You go to Paris.
Represent me well.
Rather than being heralded as a hero for saving the Republican Party, Charles Guiteau was incarcerated, tried, and found guilty of murder. In what was probably one of the most lucid statements he ever made, Guiteau, when accused of murdering Garfield during his trial, replied, quote, "The doctors did that. I merely shot him." And I have to say, that's true.
It's true.
I would say that's true. There's a little bit of defense there.
Yep.
Guiteau was hanged on June 30th, 1882. So truly almost a year later.
Yeah.
He died a disappointed office seeker, to be sure. But to describe him as that and nothing more only tells part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a political assassin that killed President Garfield in an attempt to force the Republicans to change course on civil service reform. The Republican Party's factionalism, clearly responsible for the selection of Garfield as its standard bearer in 1880, also led to the president's murder at Guiteau's hands. So, yeah. Extremism begets extremism. Everybody has a role to play when something this tragic happens. Are there parallels we can draw?
I think so. So the aftermath. The nation entered a brief period of mourning for the leader it had barely known. As many as 100,000 people turned out to view Garfield's body as it lay in state at the Capitol Rotunda. But attention soon turned toward punishing Charles Guiteau. Vigilantes tried to shoot the president's assassin on two separate occasions. This is the wild fucking West. It's such a gift.
I mean, yeah.
Not. I'm not advocating for the violence. It's just.
You can't be surprised. Like,
yeah. And when his murder trial began in November of 1881, the court had to cycle through over 150 different men to assemble an impartial jury.
Really surprised it's only 150.
I know. I was like, who would be like,
when you're asking the jury the questions, like, do you know this man? And you're like, you mean the president of the United States? I'm aware of this man.
Right. And I don't know that I would want somebody on this jury who you asked that to, and they would be like, my milkman? I don't know. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Guiteau entered a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity, arguing that the assassination had been, quote, God's act and not mine.
Fair.
Which, to me, means, like, then he's not, well, he's obviously not Catholic or a Christian, because God would never ask, like, it's a commandment. You're not supposed to kill
Thou
people.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill.
Written there?
Yep. Although, you could argue God did ask what's-his-face to kill his sons, right? So, anyway.
God's asked you to kill a lot of people.
That's, a lot of people. Yeah. And he killed... And according to the Bible, he killed everything in the flood. Wow. Did not expect Noah to come up in this conversation.
Noah, here we are. Anything can happen.
Guiteau claimed that the true cause of Garfield's death was malpractice at the hands of his doctors. Quote, I deny the killing. If your honor please, we admit the shooting.
Again.
Yeah.
It's again. Fair.
Yes. It is a I fair did assessment. Shoot him.
Now, yes, if he hadn't have shot him, would he been
right.
put in the care of doctors who obviously had no idea what was going on?
Right.
Also fair. So without right. the shooting, there would have been the doctors, but without the doctors, he might have lived.
He might have lived. Right. It's also interesting. I was like, how do they know? Because in reading the first part about the doctors, I was like, this is just like bad 1881 era.
Yeah.
Medicine, not knowing what to do because we're not that smart yet.
Right.
But then clearly everybody knew the doctors fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. I think that so was it's a, like, it seems to be what, a thing.
Right. So Guiteau's insanity plea failed to convince the jury, which took less than an hour to return a guilty verdict. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they went back there and sat there just to like do the act of like deliberating,
right.
you know, do right. do the performance, but. I mean, what, you're going to let the assassin walk away? It's you.
No.
You're not going to be the jury that lets the assassin live.
Right. Especially for assassinating somebody who hung on for months.
Months.
And was still, like, sending medical updates to the American yeah. people about his condition.
Yeah.
Like, no, no. So then on June 30th, 1882, nearly a year to the day, like Lizzie said, after he shot the president, Guiteau was executed by hanging in D.C. So.
Bye.
Oh, man, God, we have to talk about the brain in the jar.
Okay, let's unpin it now.
Okay, we have to talk about the brain in the jar. We're taking the pin out. We're taking the pin out now.
Okay. Well, I think this is a good thing to end on.
Oh, God, yes.
Because we've hung him. Now, how did his brain get into a jar? So
here we go. Do you want to do it?
I mean, what do you have?
I have it open. Okay.
Yeah,
So doctors from the Army Medical Museum in Washington, D.C. performed an autopsy after they had hung Guiteau, hoping to find physical causes for Guiteau's actions, which I don't, like, is this a time, like, I wonder if his family, because they knew he was crazy, were like,
yeah.
yes, please find out why, or if they were like, if that wasn't a thing, like if consent wasn't a thing back then.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, well, he killed a president. We can do what
right.
we want with
we
his
do what
body.
We want with him. Right. So they found that his spleen was greatly enlarged from chronic malaria, but nothing else seemed wrong with his body. His brain, however, was more promising as a potential site of abnormalities. Microscopic analysis of sections of Guiteau's brain seemed to show degeneration of the capillaries, which are small blood vessels. One expert said that mentally ill people in asylums had similar brain pathologies.
Hmm.
Another expert claimed that the convolutions of the assassin's brain were asymmetrical and his left brain hemisphere was underdeveloped, supposedly indicating abnormality. The doctors had found what they were looking for, apparent proof that the assassin had inherited his sanity and his criminality. More recent diagnoses point to Guiteau's chronic malaria and to neurosyphilis, which probably caused less obvious brain damage that contributed to his erratic behavior. Oh, the pieces of his brain, which still remain at the National Museum of Health and Medicine, oh, they're like Blit, I think, Museum of National Health and Medicine, and at Mutter, I think, M-U-T-T-E-R, may reveal more clues in the future because they could still go back and study them. That's Ooh. Wild.
It's wild. It's wild. His brain is in a jar. I'm not going to post that picture on Instagram because I feel like it'll get taken down. But yeah. just look it up.
Just Google his name and you'll find it.
Yeah. I mean, he obviously there was something going on that was neurological. Not just because he assassinated somebody, and that's always a wild thing to comprehend somebody doing, but all of his behavior leading up to the assassination indicates some type of neurological thing going on, you know?
Yeah.
I'm curious now if he were to stand trial, if he would be fit to stand trial based on medical standards of today.
My guess is probably not, but that he would then be like locked away maybe, but you know, or put like in a mental health, whatever.
I also think it depends on what state he was in.
It also depends on what state. And I also think I think they would have gotten away with, like, instead of like trying him for murder, for assassination, it would be attempted, because I think you could very easily prove that.
Well, yeah.
It wasn't that killed him. He could have survived that. It was the doctors. And then he would have had all these doctors on trial.
Certainly would have been and a maybe very even, like, less cut and dry case. I mean, this was an open and closed book back then for a case for the prosecution. But nowadays, yeah, I think it would have been a lot more nuanced.
Yeah. Also, this is only related because this is where part of his brain in a jar is. Mm. This, like, I don't know how to say it, Mutter Museum, which is at the College of Physicians in Philadelphia, is bananas. Did you look at this?
No, I saw his brain in a jar.
It's all weird, like.
Oh, my Lord. Oh,
it's like, you're grossed out by creepy things.
Yeah, don't look
at this.
Don't
go to this site.
Yeah, but
ooh. But if you're into creepy things, this is your jam. I can't. It's so gross to me. It looks fake. I mean, I want to believe it's fake, but I don't think that it is.
Yeah, I don't think it's fake. I think it is.
I don't
real.
Like it. I don't like it. Bye-bye. I'm closing that window.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have nightmares.
But with a brain in a jar, I think that's the end of our episode. Like, we can't.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's no more to say. I mean, that's our assassination of President Garfield, y'all. We're closing in on assassinations. We don't have many presidential assassinations left, really.
No.
I totally didn't know Garfield was assassinated, so maybe we have more than I think we do, but I think we just have JFK left.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, because we've talked about stuff surrounding that.
Well, sure. But not the actual moment, which you guys will save it for a rainy day. Don't think it's not coming. But in the meantime, we love you so, so much. And if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. As I said at the top, please rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.